And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're switching gears. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the Spendorama Part 2. We spent time yesterday talking about the 1.7, 1.8, depending on who you're talking to, trillion. What's another, point in the $1 trillion bill? But anyway, the Spendorama was underway yesterday. And our caller earlier, I think it was Alan from Hartsel, he made the point. They dropped this 4,155-page bill. They didn't go through the normal committee processes to build it out so people could see it happening. And they dropped that sucker in. It took literally a cart to carry it into people's offices. And keep in mind, every senator is allowed to have a copy of it. 4,155 pages times 100 senators. Picture it. Killing some trees. Where's the Green New Deal now? Thank you very much. But all that to say, they dropped it in at 1:30 in the morning for everybody to read, and it came to the floor the very next day. So there we were, literally, watching government just do its thing. Now, first of all, understand this. This is an irresponsible way to do governance. This is absolute jackassery. Jackassery of the highest order. This is like King Kong jackassery. It wasn't until about 25 years ago that people were doing this kind of thing in D.C. They used to just pass the budgets like they're supposed to. But no, then they got into recognizing, hey, you know what? If we just commit some jackassery, we can hold this thing up to the very end, right to the point that we're about to see everybody in government employment lose their paycheck right before Christmas. Hey, that'll get it done. And then what they do is they spring it out there. And by the way, senators and congressmen, they're just people like the rest of us. They're watching a winter storm blow in. They're all sort of getting concerned about making it home for Christmas. You can imagine plane, trains, and automobiles. Things getting frozen up, cancellations of flights every which way. They don't want to have to be here another day. They want to make it home for Christmas too. What does that do? It puts a burden on them to try and get it done. Hurry up, get it done. Leadership knows that. Leadership puts them in that position on purpose. So they won't spend time debating, so they won't spend time reading and making sure they've got all their amendments ready. Well, thank God for some of them who tried. Thanks again to Paul from Athens. Paul, appreciate you, man. Paul from Athens found the first article out there that I've seen. This one from the Daily Signal, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Daily Signal is an adjunct of the Heritage Foundation. So the Daily Signal put out their article here. And it says, headline, stunning act of betrayal. That's the headline. Here are the 18 Senate Republicans who voted to pass the $1.8 trillion McConnell-Schumer omnibus bill. By the way, that's what it was. It was the McConnell-Schumer omnibus bill. Well, we're going to try and pass this and spend some big money. Number one important thing, the most biggest priority is Ukraine. Why is he still in the Senate? Anyway, the bottom line is McConnell, who was allegedly a Republican, helped lead the charge to join Schumer in getting this thing passed. Now, I'll be honest, there's a few names in there that I'm looking at going, I don't appreciate that. I thought more of Tom Cotton, but he's one of the ones who voted for it, and I don't get it. And I'd like to hear his commentary later on as to why. But some of the ones you can expect are the ones who voted. By the way, the large number of people out there who believe that Tuberville was going to vote for this bill are now wrong. Now, I will say this. Senator Tuberville, he did, in fact, vote for the procedural vote that allows this thing to come to a debate. I don't know what his strategy was. I've been on the mind before when I was in the state legislature in Montgomery. You kill a bill sometimes on not letting it out of committee. You can kill a bill sometimes by not letting it have its procedural votes. Other times, you also recognize that if you allow it to pass forward on a procedural vote, you can trap them with amendments that you want to try and get on the bill, because the only way you can get it amended is to be allowed to go forward and put the amendments on. That being said, I don't know what his motivation was for a procedural bill or procedural vote, but Coach Tuberville did indeed vote against the bill itself. 18 Republicans right now have joined in. We're looking at Roy Blunt from Missouri, John Boozman from Arkansas, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, Susan Collins from Maine, John Cornyn from Texas, Tom Cotton, of all people, from Arkansas. You just lost my – I just There went that man crush. Tom Cotton, I'm disappointed in that one. Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma. Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. Jerry Moran from Kansas. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. Rob Portman from Ohio. Mitt Romney from Utah. Mike Round, South Dakota. Richard Shelby from Alabama. John Thune, South Dakota. Roger Wicker, Mississippi. Todd Young, Indiana. And there were three Republicans who were not on record because they were probably out of the building or didn't make it back for the vote or something. I don't know. All that to say, those Republicans should be ashamed of themselves. And the only one in there who I look at and go, wow, really? I mean, I expect this from Romney. I expect this from Murkowski. I expect this from Susan Collins. I expect it from Mitch McConnell. I even expected it from Richard Shelby. I did not expect that from Tom Cotton. So I guess we'll find out more later on as to why he did what he did. In the meantime, I am glad to say that our U.S. delegation was split. And now I suspect that what we'll wind up seeing is an interesting amalgam of votes from our House delegation, because this thing just passed, and it is literally going to a vote potentially in the House tonight. Tonight. Wow. All right, listen. We're up against a break. I know we are. I don't hear the music playing, but I think we're there. Yep, we are. There's the music. That means the pastor's got to stop preaching. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Spendorama. Play, man.
I agree.
All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're on number two of the Triple Dipper, Spendorama. Well, I just labeled it as jackassery a while ago. That's where I'm at. Just watching this $1.7 trillion spendorama going on, and we just had 18 Republicans who joined in. One of them was our Senator Shelby, but I am thankful to say that our Senator Tuberville chose to vote against the bill. It now goes to the House, where one report here from Fox News, which came out just about an hour and a half ago, says that Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected to hold a vote on it as early as this evening. This evening. Tonight. 4,155-page piece of legislation transferred from the Senate to the House, vote on it the same day. Why not? Heck! You know Nancy will have to vote on it to see what's in it. Well, she's got the bare majority right now that it takes to get it passed. All we can hope right now is that a few Democrats get the flu, and they can't be there. That's all we can hope for right now. Is she's got a very slim majority. If Republicans will stay the course, she's going to have all of her Democrats, and we'll see. Just a great way for Nancy to retire. Got a call on line one. Let me grab that real quick. Line one, Clay from Madison. Clay, how you doing?
Dr. Ruffian, the professor of right. How are you today?
I'm well, sir. I'm well. Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
So yesterday you asked a question, and this, you know, it's not a spendorama, it's more like a spendgasm.
Oh,
but
wow.
Why does Mitch McConnell have so much power? Well, power brings in money, and money buys power. Yeah. I bet if you look at all the people that voted, all the senators that voted in favor of this massive mistake. We'll just call it that simply. See how much money Mitch McConnell poured into their campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
He has the power, or he has the purse string. He's got that Senate campaign fund, which is in the hundreds of millions. You know, he tried to, we got a Democrat senator for a short term because of his money.
Right.
And we lost Mo Brooks because of his money.
Right.
But, you know, money buys power. Power gives you money. So just follow the money, you know, follow his campaign contributions, follow who's beholden to him. That's who you get the votes from.
I don't disagree with that. Clay, let me ask you a question. Here's the question I have, though, is if that were all true across the board, I mean, aside from people like Shelby, who's retiring, who's just going to get a building named after him or something. But if all those who are staying on board, if that's their motivation, what is McConnell's motivation? Why is he willing to join Schumer? What is he gaining from this? Why did he see this as a good idea? And I don't have a good answer on that one.
We don't see the backdoor deals that are going on in the Senate all the time. It doesn't matter what goes on for which party and which kind of bill. There's backdoor deals in every piece of legislation that comes out of that body. And, you know, we just don't see them.
Well,
you know,
and that's true. And some of those, though, I don't care. I mean, if someone gets a committee position because they voted on something that's not really going to wind up affecting the world, like that, but this is $1.7 trillion of just wrong and filled with pork. And you look at it and go, why is Tom Cotton voting for this? But yeah.
Well, he got something. Either he's beholden to McConnell for his election and the money, campaign money, or he got something. Somewhere in those 4,100 pages is something for Tom Cotton's district.
Well, we'll find out sometime soon. Hey, Clay, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and so let me tell you some things that are in there. Let me do this first. Let me tell you what almost jimmied up the bill. This was fun. I enjoyed this. Last night, Senator Mike Lee, who Republican of Utah, who very conservative. I like Mike Lee. Senator Mike Lee dropped an amendment on the bill that would have extended Title 42 to fight immigration at the southern border. And suddenly Schumer had to call a break because he was concerned that, the speculation is, he didn't say it this way, but it was speculation that Schumer was concerned that that amendment might actually pass. And the Democrats couldn't stand it. And they knew that it would jimmy things up again in the House if it went down there with that amendment on it. So Schumer had to step back and try to get things fixed in his own caucus, because literally the Mike Lee Title 42 immigration reform amendment was concerning the Democrats so much. Now think about that. They have put hundreds of millions of dollars into that piece of legislation to promote border security in Middle Eastern countries. But they did not want an amendment that would have allowed a simple policy to be put in place that would make the border more secure in our own country. What does that tell you about their priorities? Well, Fox News reports that, last night, Title 42 was the only thing standing between us and absolute pandemonium, said Lee, and the Democrats won't let us do this. Why? Because they're afraid it might pass. And so apparently somehow or another, around 2 a.m. in the morning, Schumer cut things off, took it to the House. Not the House of Congress, but literally sort of cut things off for the evening and came back today, and apparently he had whipped his own people, so he had the votes, and they got rid of the amendment, of Mike Lee's amendment, and it went on without it. I got a caller on line four. I'll take it. Mark from Athens. Hey, Mark. Phil Williams, how you doing?
Doing good, Phil. You know, I hate to be this guy because I'm usually never a conspiracy guy at all.
Okay.
But one thing that I've noticed, and you talk about Shelby, you know, you look at all these Republicans that have been leaders that have phased themselves out, and I don't understand why they all disappear. Like President Bush, gone, non-existent, not helping push forward any kind of anything. Individuals like Condoleezza Rice and different people that were big leaders, they just have completely disappeared. And it just seems like that. And then now you see, you know, Bush was buddy-buddy with the Obamas and all of these things. To me, it just almost seems like they kind of see the world kind of going more into a liberal area, and they're just hedging their bets on the future of, like, maybe, hey, maybe it is going to go this far left direction. Let's just kind of jump off this team and move towards this one because they're going to be able to take care of us later in the past. Like I said, I know it sounds kind of crazy and a conspiracy, but that's one thing that I've been very shocked about is that when you look at the Republicans, all you see is they're leaning towards Trump. And it's like, where's all these other great leaders and people in the Republican Party that helped really get it, you know, there? Where are they?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you say that. There's some rising leaders, of course, DeSantis being one who used to be a member of the Freedom Caucus, very fiscally conservative, very culturally conservative. But, you know, so I guess I'm just spitballing here with you for a minute, but I think on my recollection was President Bush, George W. Bush, came from an era where it was you don't speak out against the current president because – now, Trump doesn't share that, obviously. He doesn't share that at all. But Bush left office with the sort of the professional courtesy type thing that you don't speak out against a current sitting president because you know how hard the job was when you had it and the election put that person in office, so let them do their job. Now, Bush has gone and campaigned for some people, but he has not spoken in terms of true policy in quite a while that I've seen.
To me, it just seemed like, you know, like, yeah, you're right. He didn't do that, but the optics of going and hanging out and, you know, becoming pen pals with Michelle Obama wasn't the best optics either, in my opinion. Like, it looks like you kind of went somewhere. You just didn't verbally say it.
And I would love to see some of them come back. Now, there's a few of them that I don't miss, but I would love to see some of them come back. But hey, Mark, thanks for the call, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, you too.
You know, there was an article, by the way, on National Review dated yesterday. It literally, here's the headline, McConnell negotiating against Republicans. That was the headline. National Review, by the way, if you're not familiar, National Review is usually pretty conservative. Now, I will say this, National Review has been in a tussle with Trump lately. So if you're a Trump fan, National Review might aggravate you. But they got some good writers over there. Jonah Goldberg, people like that. But National Review has a headline, McConnell negotiating against Republicans. It says McConnell begins by bragging that the omnibus spending deal includes military budget increases without the domestic spending increases that Democrats normally demand. He then specifies that these increases are about matching America's foes. Well, overall support for Ukraine is showing its limits, and it gives some, you know, outlines as to why. But it basically says in the article that McConnell was negotiating against Republicans. And that's National Review saying that. Wow. That just tells you something. You'll be happy to know, by the way, that there are some very important things in that bill. We read some of them yesterday. Like, for instance, there is a LGBTQ2IA plus and BIPOC housing development in Albany, New York that's being funded. You'll be happy to know that the Blacks for Wax or Wax for Blacks Museum in Philadelphia, or Boston, I believe it was, is being built with money from this budget. You'll be happy to know that coral reefs and salmon production are also being protected. You'll be happy to know that there is funding in there for border security, like I said earlier, in Middle Eastern countries, but not our own. You'll also be happy to know that there's actually a provision in the bill that puts hundreds of millions of dollars into basically population control in areas in which biodiversity is threatened. What does that mean? Take out the gobbledygook and just say it like normal people talk. That's funding abortions in places where they believe that green energy and the Green New Deal is not being implemented well enough. In other words, if the trees are being threatened, we need to kill off some people so the trees are happier. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's also criminal that it's in that bill at all. That's a concept called Malthusianism, which I've only just recently become familiar with. Check it out. You'll also be happy to know that Breitbart now reports that in the Spendorama, the omnibus bill, taxpayers will pay to erect a monument to journalists in D.C. You heard me. Taxpayers will fund the erection of press statues in Washington, D.C., along with handing out media subsidies worth over $1 billion. Unless something changed, that's still in the bill. It sets up the, and by the way, you know, you have to actually apply to Congress, I believe, to be allowed to create a memorial in D.C., because otherwise there'd be, you know, you wouldn't be able to walk for statues. So It does establish Section 708 of the bill. The establishment media will be given a commemorative location in D.C. to honor journalists. So, yeah, that's wonderful. The statues will be located in Area 1, which is along the mall, near the White House, the Tidal Basin, the Theodore Roosevelt Island, all that area. The omnibus bill also provides taxpayer money to the establishment media. In Section 407 of the bill, taxpayers will give over $500 million to PBS and NPR. Wow. And $600 million for their infrastructure. Wow. Pays to be public radio. They'll still be doing a telethon. Don't worry. They'll ask for your money, too. And the GOP, by the way, did score a couple of things. Number one, they did reduce funding for the IRS. Praise God. Now, it does say, it does remind us that the 87,000 new taxpayer, or 87,000 new IRS agents, they were actually in the quote unquote Inflation Reduction Act, which didn't reduce inflation one bit. But within the major budget, Republicans did get an amendment on there that reduced IRS funding. So maybe there's a counterbalance to the, you know, Inflation Reduction Act. Boomer, take us to a break before I just pass out over here because of all the jackassery going on in D.C. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back and talk about why we even do omnibus bills. And then coming up, top of the hour, Congressman Mo Brooks on the air with us. We'll talk about maybe all this stuff with him. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Let's move through the final stages here of the Spendorama Part 2. Spendorama is where we're at, man, because they're spending it. And right now, all we can do is hope for the House. I don't want to wish the flu on anybody, but if a few Democrats could be absent this evening, that'd be great. Maybe they're already catching their flights home. But you know what? Now that I say that, though, I don't believe that Nancy Pelosi has done away with proxy voting, so they could probably vote from home right now because, you know, COVID's still out there. It's a scary world. So why show up in D.C. when you can get on your computer at home and just vote? So they'll probably get it. So then we have to have a couple of or three or four or nine Democrats defect. And what are the odds? What are the odds? I mean, wow. All right, that being said, let me just go ahead and say this. Mitch McConnell just hosed the Republican agenda. Well, let me correct that. He had no agenda. He went into the midterm elections openly stating that he had no agenda and did not intend to put one out. Republicans in Congress had an agenda. Kevin McCarthy has been saying everything that you want to hear right now from someone who hopes to be the next Speaker of the House. To the extent that he's also openly excoriated McConnell for doing this and putting them in this position. Because what could have happened very easily is McConnell could have said, no, we're not doing this. All you Republicans join me. We're not doing this. We're not passing this thing. They got to have 60 votes and we're not going to give it to them. And then it would have allowed the new Republican Congress to come in and have the ability to put together their own version of a budget. But now, as it stands, this budget is funding 2023. This is going to go forward. It's going to be there. And by the way, some of the things in there are being put into place in perpetuity. They're spending money that's going to be, you know, several years in the making. And so now the Republicans have to wait another year before they have a chance to pass a budget with any, you know, true Republican input. National Review has a piece that the editors of National Review put out, dated today. And the headline of it is, it's time to put an end to the end-of-the-year omnibus bills. I totally agree. This is part of why it's so irresponsible. They point out the end of the calendar year is supposed to be a time for merry celebrations, but Congress makes it about consolidated appropriations. Yet again, the American people are being treated to a consolidated appropriations act, See, here's the thing. They point out this way. Congress has a committee system that divides responsibilities for overseeing various parts of the government. And they're each supposed to produce their own spending bills in a process that's meant to take months in preparation for the next fiscal year. In that time, Congress is supposed to debate the spending, offer the amendments, and vote on each of the spending bills separately. But instead, Congress waits until arbitrary statutory deadlines to fund government bring us down to the wire. They squeeze all the bills together and they announce a vote within days on some massive number of pages authorizing a mind-boggling amount of spending. This year, like I've said several times, it's 4,155 pages, $1.7 trillion. They point out that's roughly $409 million a page on average. Full of special interest handouts and wasteful programs that Americans have become accustomed to. This is not the way it's supposed to run. It's the way it helps the special interests. It's the way it helps the moderate leadership. It's the way it helps the liberal agenda. It's the way it keeps Republicans in their place. And oh, by the way, Republicans helped make it happen because it would not have happened had it not been for McConnell and 17 other so-called Republicans who decided to join with Schumer and make this happen. $1.7 trillion filled with pork. Well, we're going to come back here in a minute with Congressman Mo Brooks. He's in the final days of his time in federal politics, at least for now, as far as we know. But Congressman Brooks has been one of the more conservative, fiscally conservative members of the legislature, of the Senate, excuse me, of the House for many years. We're going to get his take on this. We'll probably hear what he has to say about Ukraine, what he has to say about Spendorama, and then we're going to ask him about what he thinks about the January 6th Commission Big Nothing Burger that has referred charges on former President Trump, and yet to what end? Is anything going to happen? Probably not. How much of our time and money do they waste? Oh, well, Liz Cheney's not coming back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.